Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. Brought to you by the Water Innovations Foundation, solving the world's water problems through technology. Learn more at waterinnovations.org.
Welcome back to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. Vincent Caprio on the phone along with our guest, Fred Parmalee. We're talking about taxes and the new tax laws. When we went to the break, you guys were in a heated debate there about, you know, 1099s and corporations. And, you know, that's sort of a good point to bring up that, Fred, maybe you want to address. What are some of the different tax implications, whether it's a corporation or if somebody incorporates, even if it's two people or one person, versus a limited liability versus a sole proprietor or just somebody who's freelance and gets a bunch of 1099s from all of their clients? I mean, what are the tax implications for those different types of working?
Sure. I wanted to, when Vince and I were discussing, one of the things with the 1099s, and he's absolutely right, with not having to send it to a corporation. And reason being is sometimes a corporation doesn't operate on the same fiscal year as an individual would.
Right.
So that's why that 1099 issued to a corporation would just create a mess, because their, in essence, fiscal period might not match ours. So that's why they just never issue them to corporations. But going back to entities of choice, one of the most popular entities that we have with the taxation code is the limited liability company. And if there's any of our listeners out there that are thinking of starting a business, and I'm sure Vince is actually much more in tune with this than I am, but one of the entities that you should really look into as a small business owner is the limited liability company. It's a fantastic entity. It's created, and actually in Connecticut, we have a single member LLC, an SMLLC, so it can just be you. And the beauty of a single member LLC is it provides the legal protection like a corporation would, but the simplicity of the taxation system like a sole proprietor has. I think by far it's the entity of choice for us small business owners, by far.
So say that again just so people didn't miss it. The protection of a corporation with the simplicity of an LLC?
With the taxation, what happens with a sole proprietor is a sole proprietor reports his or her profit on their personal return and pays tax at the personal income tax level. The beauty of a single member LLC is you don't lose that tax benefit. You're still paying tax on any profits from your LLC on your federal income tax return. Specifically, if you look at your 1040 form, the individual form, if you look at page one, there's actually a line item to report your profit from your LLC. So it's just part of your individual tax structure, and we don't get caught up in double taxation and things like that that we hear about when we talk about corporations. And Vince, you can expand too, much more than I can on that, but if it were I definitely like to talk to my clients about setting that single member LLC, which is a very easy entity to form and a fantastic entity to tax.
And do they end up paying more taxes or about the same if they're a single member LLC versus if they're just
a sole proprietor?
A sole proprietor, yeah.
It's actually the exact same. In essence, okay. IRS calls it, and this is where an attorney would, you know, talk about the legal protection of the LLC that the sole proprietor doesn't have, but the taxation system, the IRS actually even calls it a disregarded entity. Not so much that it's not important to the IRS, but to the IRS, they're saying, listen, a sole proprietor or a single member LLC, for taxation purposes, it's the similar, it's the same entity. That's the beauty of the taxation of the LLC.
Last question. So the meeting starts on about April 12th. People go crazy. How many people are at extensions at this point, Fred? How many people file for extensions and don't file on time?
What happens is if we're self-employed, Vince, like you and I are, sometimes the extension is a tool for us. You know, one of the things, Ann, we were talking about was deductions for a business owner and the home office and all that we talked about. Another deduction is something called a SEP, a retirement plan. Like we have a 401k for an employee. Being self-employed, we have, Vince has it as well in his business, we have something called a SEP.
Or what people look at as SEP.
SEP, correct.
Yeah.
And a lot of times my small business clients will go on extension and get an automatic extension through October 15th. Not so much as we need time to file the return, but that 6 months also provides you the time to fund your SEP account. So if you're in a business that has seasonal cash flow and you get your taxes done in April and really the cash flow isn't there to fund your SEP and get a nice deduction for it, but 2 months down the road you might have that cash flow in your business, heck, go ahead and put that return on extension. Gives you 6 months to file the return and for Vince and I to fund our SEPs. Fantastic tool. Fantastic tool.
So we only have a couple minutes left, Fred. So what are some pieces of advice, things that we may not have asked you that you think are important, we really should get that message out?
Don't fear the IRS. And you know, I used to work for them. They're there to help. The stories that you hear about them, in essence, are mostly not true.
Really?
Over the years, I've had my battles with them in audits. There's no question about that. But they're there to help, as well as the state of Connecticut. If you have a situation where you owe some taxes and you can't pay them by April 15th, don't panic. There is options out there where the federal government and our state of Connecticut will work with you to make payment arrangements to get those taxes paid. I think that's the big thing, where people kind of overheat and say, what's going to happen? Am I going to get thrown in jail? April 15th come and goes. I owe money. Don't overreact. There are options out there. IRS will charge you penalties and interest. But don't overreact. There are ways to get you through it.
What about some of the complaints I've heard where they feel like if you call some of those tax hotlines, which I think are they go to the IRS, that you know you could call three times and ask the same question and get three different answers, and the answer they give you, it, like if it's incorrect, it's not. In other words, you still pay the consequences if it's wrong.
That's unfortunately true. If you can show that you were given false information, whenever you call the IRS, they will give you their ID number. You want to write that ID number down, and they're required to give you their name. Write that information down. If they gave you some information that you relied on, and that results in you making a mistake with your taxes, mm-hmm. there are remedies you can take if you've relied on the advice of the IRS and that IRS was wrong. But the documentation
every year for the last 25 years, Money Magazine gives a return to CPAs and tax preparers, and there's 25 different answers from a refund of $2,000 to someone owing $5,000. So you can go to 25 different CPAs and get 25 different answers.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Fred?
Vince, you and I have had discussions about tax law that, you know, you and I differ on certain things on it, so it happens.
Okay, guys, you know what? We have 30 seconds, so we're done. But, Fred, thanks so much for being on the show with us. And we're going to be back next week, both Vincent and I, to talk about education, not just here in the state of Connecticut. We'll touch on that, but education.